Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Real quick before we start the show, just wanted to let you guys know you can get the show 2 days early by joining our Patreon. Even for a buck, you can listen to the show 2 days early. Go to patreon.com/analogtalk and we got a bunch of stuff over there. Check it out and enjoy the episode.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Analog Talk. I'm your host, Chris.
I'm Tim.
And today's guest, we have Taylor Stouse. Hey, Taylor.
Hello.
Thanks.
Hi. How's it going?
Good. Thanks for joining us. We're excited to chat about all the projects you have going on. Before we get into all that, do you mind just introducing yourself to our listeners, giving them a background on yourself and how you got into photography and stuff like that?
Sure. So I'm Taylor. I have been shooting for quite a while, professionally and as a career for about 5 years. But as a kid, I had disposable cameras and the like for my whole life. So I've been around film for a long time. And then 5 years ago, my dad gave me his Nikon FG20 that his dad gave him. Ooh. And it's been a whirlwind ever since. I live in Nashville and I'm from here as well. And I do a lot of live music and touring and, you know, a little bit of everything else. But that's kind of like my bread and butter, what I spend most of my time doing. So been doing it and loving it for a very long time.
That's amazing. So the first thing I want to ask you about is your mobile darkroom.
Because yes.
I have a hard enough time convincing people to let me take photos of their show, let alone like, I'm going to shoot just film and I'm going to develop it on the road. And like, I just want to hear all about that.
Yeah. So a couple years ago, I was up until actually the kind of mid 2019, I was doing film and digital. And I hated it. I hated digital. I feel like film requires me to be very present and intentional. And I found that when I had the option of doing digital and I had many opportunities to get it right, you know, to get a shot and to, you know, multi-exposure and all that kind of stuff, or high speed shutter, whatever, I don't know. Yeah. I just found that I was not as intentional and I wasn't as present, and yeah. it made me a little lazy. And so I was very frustrated with my work and, was just frustrated with the medium, and I've always enjoyed it so much that I didn't want to feel that way anymore. So I just started trying to figure out like, how can I do film for everything? And the one obvious hang up for that is touring. So I made a list for myself of like all the things that I would need, like all the parameters, like, you know, the darkness and, yeah, you know, power, running water, and all the equipment that I would need, and just put together a kit for myself that I could take on the road. And now, yeah, I actually took it on the road twice last year in two different versions. I call my darkroom Moby. It's mobile. Moby. His name is Moby.
Moby 2.0, right? That's what I saw.
Yes. Yes, Moby 2.0 is the second version. The first version was in this huge duffel bag with this gigantic, oh my gosh, the scanner that I used was an Epson V550. Mm-hmm. This huge flatbed scanner that I would bring in it. And the first time that I took it out on the road, I forgot like lots of stuff that would have been really, really helpful to have. And so Moby 2.0 is just an improved version of the first, with much smaller housing and a very complete and like, I just have a little checklist of the things that I need. And it's a black and white development and scanning. So Mobi 3.0 is on the way, and we'll have color development. I'll have color development capabilities on the road as well.
Okay, so this is crazy to me because so I've worked with musicians, you know, here and there, and you know, they want the images like that night sometimes, you know, like,
yeah.
Are you like, so this is the turnaround time, this is no questions asked, like I need this amount of time to get you the images? Are they understanding of that? Like, what does that look like?
So actually, I do turn around nightly images. I scan a roll of film a day and I develop by night. So after a show, no matter where we land, sometimes it's hotel bathroom, sometimes it's someone's mom's kitchen, just where wherever I find the power outlet and the running water, I'll develop and scan the film that night. So my days are usually whenever everyone else gets up, and they end at like 4 or 5 in the morning.
Wow.
Yeah. And usually the only reason I'm up that late is because for me to dry the film, I use like the shower rod and my hook system. And it's a lot. Yeah, I have to wait for everyone else to like shower and get done because it needs to be left alone.
Right.
So I'm working on creating this kind of like door hook where I can just hang it over a door or attach it to a wall, and that way it can just like be by itself somewhere drying and hanging out, and I won't have to wait that long to dry it and cut it and scan it.
Man, so what is your chemical situation like? What are you using? What are you doing, like monobath, or do you just kind of do the old like developer fixer?
I do the three step.
Nice. Okay.
So what I'll normally do is I have storage bottles where I will go ahead and create. I have my fix and my stop that I'll keep it like pre-diluted, ready to go, and then I'll bring my developer. And yeah, I use the whole system. I bring the HypoClear on the road as well. yeah, I bring it all. I bring all of it with me.
It's important. I feel like
so inspiring. It's like there's no excuses for anything, really. Like
I love it. I love it so much. And I didn't want to have to sacrifice that process because like developing film is so cathartic, and it's like such like a great, it's such a fulfilling experience for me that I just wanted to be able to do it. And I thought to myself, you know, like I think about photographers like, you know, Robert Capa or Ansel Adams. Like I think like, how did they do it? Like
right.
They're, you know, Robert Capa's a wartime photographer. Like he's out in the field and he's sending these images home. Like what, how did he, like they had to have a way.
Right.
Obvious, you know, they had a way. And so, and there really aren't any modern resources for building something that you can just like pick up and take with you. I didn't really find anything. So I looked at how the workflow of photographers from, you know, back in the 60s, 70s, you know, whenever, and kind of took, like, I have a book of like Ansel Adams's letters. And I read a lot about, like, he would just talk about his experience, like, you know, lugging things around, like the things that he needed or would forget. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's really smart. Like I should think about that. And it's like different, like chemistry, of course, now, but the principle is still there. And so that's, yeah. And it's really funny because people don't really get it until they see it.
Right.
The band that I tour with mostly is a band called Early Humans. And they're from here in Nashville. I've known these guys for 10 years. They're some of my best friends. And this past tour that I went on with them in December, they asked, you know, are you going to do film and digital? And I was like, yeah. And then I was like, I really don't want to.
Right.
And so I talked to one of the guys and I was like, hey, like, you know, I really want to do just film. And I was like, so how about this? Like, I'll bring the mobile darkroom set up. If I feel like there's a day when I can't get the film done or whatever, I'll bring my Polaroid. I'll bring a few packs and we'll do dailies for social media that way. And he was like, yeah, okay, cool. And didn't have a problem getting the development done any of those days, which was great.
How long was the tour, if you don't mind me asking?
It was a week.
Okay.
It was a week. And so about day three, the guy in the band, Ryan, that I talked to came up to me. He was like, you know, he was like, when you told me you wanted to do all film, he was like, I was a little hesitant. And he was like, I hadn't seen this before and I hadn't seen you do it. And he was like, but you've done this every night. And he was like, I like watching you like develop this film, like knowing you've shot it and then watching you develop it and like all this. He was like, this is so cool. And he was like, I'm really sorry I ever doubted you. And I was like, no, it's cool. Like, I get it because like, I don't know anyone else who does it.
No.
Like, it's not reasonable. It's absolute. Honestly, it's insane. But
yeah,
I love
the
what
best
I do.
Way,
I yeah, Yeah. I mean, it's what I want to be doing. And so for me, it doesn't feel insane. It just feels like really natural and really like, it makes me so happy, like to be doing it.
Yeah. I mean, that's the good part. I guess when it becomes like, oh, I got to go develop all this stuff and pull all the chemicals out, then, you know, you can think about doing something else. But if you're like having a blast just while you're doing it, like that's part of the whole thing, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, and that's honestly like that whole like begrudging, like, oh, I don't want to do that feeling like that. That is how I feel when I would plug my camera into my computer and like bring all the digital images in and cull and edit. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, like I don't feel like creating Lightroom presets and I don't feel like editing. Like I barely edit my film when I bring it into post. I'll fix a few things, but most of what I do is in my scanner, which, speaking of that, Mobi 2.0 also has a much smaller scanner. It's the Plustek 8100. It's a little size of like a loaf of bread. Actually, it's right here. This is my scanner.
Oh, wow.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
And since I only shoot 35 millimeter on the road, it's perfect because it only scans 35 millimeter. So, but it's perfectly like portable and I have Silverfast, so it's got great software. So what the scanner lacks in power and capability, the software makes up for.
Oh, that's perfect.
So it's great. It's perfect for the road. And plus it's like when I'm developing on the road, you don't get those like perfect, you know, distilled water, like effects, like you don't get those perfect rolls. You get a lot, there's a lot of aberrations, you know, what have you, but the bands and the people that I work with, that's what they love about film. And I love that about film.
Yeah, I was going to say, that
sets you apart right there.
Yeah. So it's one of those things where it's like, they don't mind that. And I love it too. So it's great.
Have you developed a color film before? Are you familiar, or is this going to be a whole new venture when you do the Mobi 3.0?
Yeah. So I have developed color film by hand, twice. I understand the principles, but it's been a minute since I've done it, and I'm actually getting the color chemistry in this week, and I'm going to start test developing rolls at home and figuring out, because that's a whole different setup for the chemistry and the containers and like all that. So it won't be such a new experience, but I know that during the test rolls, I'm going to be a mess because I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, with the temperature control and everything, it's going to be a little tricky, but actually, I have a Ryan, the guy from Early Humans, is really, really well versed in sous vides, and because he's a really great chef and has worked in a couple great restaurants, and so he was giving me tips on how to use the sous vide, like how to heat up the water, like testing, you know, heating up the water and then putting my bottles of chemistry in, and then seeing how much time it takes to get everything up to temperature to like help with timing on the road. Like they're actually, you know, as skeptical as they were at first, now they're like helping me like
so
create this
it.
Workflow. Yeah. That is like super, super convenient for me and, you know, and fast for them too. So it's really cool.
I'm excited because I remember like when I first got into developing, I would do the same thing. You know, I'd shoot a roll, rush home and develop it right away. And there's like nothing better than that, you know, especially coming from like digital. I was like in that weaning digital away from me thing too. So that's just cool that you're taking that whole thing and taking it on the road. doing it in the wild.
And that's how, like, you know, when I got started, I was telling the story last night, I would photograph bands like promos or shows, and I would do the same thing. I would, because that's all there was really, like I wasn't sending them to a lab black and white. I developed in my sink, I walked downstairs to my darkroom, I made prints, and that's what I gave them. I gave them physical darkroom prints as like, you know, I was saying I did like scan like the darkroom prints on a flatbed and like from my little GeoCities website, if you guys remember GeoCities.
I actually do. That's so crazy.
I feel like I'm dating myself with that one, but yeah. But that was the process.
Yeah.
Shoot,
yeah.
Go develop, print, and yeah, that's so cool.
It's this is actually kind of new information that I haven't shared like publicly like this yet, but
breaking news.
It kind of is. It's gonna be a while, but I'm actually working on I have a friend who has a 3D printer, and he and I have talked about this a little bit, but I would like to create a miniature enlarger that is set, and the only thing that you really have to do is Find Focus, and actually take the negatives on the road. And I'm working on like a system of like how to print, but it would basically be black and white printing on the road in like and have like the enlarger and everything in one light safe mobile housing with all the development and everything underneath it. So I'm actually working on blueprints to build that right now.
That's so
I could
so
potentially
cool.
make prints on the road too, like, because I think that for bands, like, it's there's something special about limited run merchandise, and having though, you know, if I have images, you know, from one night that are really cool and are something that, you know, someone could put on their wall, and it's not necessarily of that band, but it's of the vibe, you know, the vibe of the venue, or just something gear related, you know, making little mini, you know, 4x6s or whatever, you know, that bands can sell. I can make a little bit of money off the print. They can use it as merchandise as well. And it helps cover my costs, but also is like good promotion for them as well. It's good promotion all around.
Right.
But you know, there's something marketable about limited run merch like that. And it's completely unique. And like I said, nobody else is doing it. And I think it'd be pretty cool. So I have no idea if it's even going to come to fruition. But it's something that I'm like, I love being in the dark room. And that's kind of why I built a mobile dark room. Because as much as I love shooting, I love developing and printing even more.
Right.
So being able to do that on the road, like, it's a dream. It's such a dream.
I love that.
Not going to lie. I'm jealous.
Yeah. I know. I was like, well, shoot, now I feel like I said before, I was like, I don't have an excuse, you know?
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, the excuse is that it is absolutely insane. Like,
maybe I'll go
really
stick with that.
Yeah, you know, and that's okay. Like, that is a perfectly legitimate excuse.
Still
I love
amazing.
That, though, that's like your gig. You know what I mean? That's such a cool thing to, like, shop around to other bands and other kind of deals that do the same kind of stuff, like touring and whatnot. I love it. I love that. I'm excited for you.
Thank you.
So can we talk to you next about your Film for Everyone or Film for All project?
Yes. Dude,
I was so stoked when I read that on your website. I was just like, what?
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I actually had so much fun doing that. Actually I did a little extra on top of that shop run that I did. Okay. I'll tell you about the project first and then I'll go into to Reddit Secret Santa because it's so much fun. Yes, the Film for Everyone project was something I came up with in late October last year, and it was a project that was designed to share my love of film with people who might not have the financial opportunity to have done so previously. I had a great job and was able to put all these kits together. I had this collection of cameras that I had rescued from, you know, antique shops or thrift stores or flea markets, and some of them were broken and I would fix them, but they just sat there and I never used them.
I know all about that.
Yeah, right? Like, I had this camera collection and it's like I loved having them, but it was like they're just sitting there, but they're perfectly, I mean, I had, you know, Pentax K1000 and some really, you know, some Minolta's a really nice like Yashica electro rangefinder, like, you know, some really cool stuff that I just felt guilty that now it was like collecting dust on my own shelves. And so I was like, you know, I could flip some of these for, you know, some quick Christmas cash. But then I was like, well, I don't, you know, I have this good job. I don't really need that. And I was like, what if I didn't? What if I just, you know, what if I sold them for super cheap? And so I put together these kits that were complete 35 millimeter starter kits with a camera body, a lens, all the caps and batteries, the original camera manual. And then I typed up a resource guide from me about shooting with film, whether it be shooting, you know, just general basic photography terms and like how SLRs work and how to shoot with expired film, you know, just whatever I felt like was something that when I was starting out, I didn't know. And it was something I had to learn the hard way. I just put all that into a resource guide. And then I reached out to Kodak and told Tim about the project. I emailed him, and actually I saw him this weekend at the Imaging USA conference. And we were all standing around talking about it, and he was like, you know, if anyone needs a tutorial in grant writing proposals, he was like, you should talk to Taylor. He was like, you know, I opened your email and I was going to ignore it. And then I closed it And a few minutes later, I went back and I opened it up and I read it again. And he's like, and I couldn't ignore it. Cause I just told him about the project and how excited I was to like share this with others and how I wanted to provide these low cost resources. And, so he sent me a roll of film for every kit.
Nice.
And some extras as well, which I kind of randomly threw into them, where it would just random ones. And then I reached out to, Mike at Shoot Bye. Film Co. Mm-hmm. And, cause I, yes. The guy.
Yeah.
Yes. I love his photo memo notebooks. I use them for everything. Dark room, random notes. Like I was ripping out pages of the back, like using them as business cards this weekend because I forgot to make any. But I reached out to him and he actually sent double packs for every kit as well.
He's the best.
Yeah, I was so thankful for that because I was like, these are so great. Like, these are my favorite thing. And he sent some of his pins too. And then Studio C41 helped me promote it. And I went on their podcast and talked about it. And it was great. And I didn't know like if anyone would notice or care. I just want to do this. I don't know if, you know, who knows. And I opened the shop on Black Friday and all the kits were sold in less than 4 days.
Wow. How many kits?
I had 12.
Wow.
I had 12 and I had like one little point and shoot and then one range finder. And then everything else was, you know, SLR, but you know, some of them, I had like a Nikon N80, like pretty decent like Nikon body with the great lens and mm-hmm. you know like the Pentax, you know, I had all these, you know, Canon Rebel, I had just great cameras, and I didn't sell any of the kits for more than $60.
Wow,
that's great. That's so good.
And I'd honestly, like, I was so excited just to send them out. And like once they were all sold, like I sent them, and over the past month or so I've started getting some people's film back from them, and developing their film and hearing from them about like their experience shooting. And I have a really good friend of mine who I had no idea would even be interested in this. And he told me the other day, he came over to drop off his film and he said, you know, I love this so much. He's like, I feel like my brain is just going all the time. And he was like, now I'm using this camera and I'm shooting and I'm finding that my brain is slowing down mm-hmm. and I'm able to like be present and just, that's all I have to think about. And I can just shoot. And then I bring it to you and you develop it. He's like, it's just so cool. And now he's bought like two other cameras and like three other lenses.
Got him addicted.
And
what you
all
did.
This film. And he's so excited about it. And I just, that just warms my heart. Cause that's I know how great that feeling is too. So
that's
sharing that was
so rewarding.
It is. It's honestly it's so much fun. And that was another thing that I did as well. I told people, I sent them all black and white film from Kodak and told them, when you're done with the roll, send it back. I gave them a prepaid envelope a pre-addressed envelope. It was like, just pay like $2 for shipping, mail it back to me, and I'll develop your first roll for free at home. So that's people, you know, I've been sending them or dropping them by, and I've been developing their film and scanning it and then sending it back. So
man, that's so awesome. That's
It was great. I mean, it was such a cool experience. And I was so excited. I've had people like message me and ask, you know, do you have any more of these? Like, are you still doing this? Is this a thing? And I was like, well, not right now. But I'm actually in the process of starting a permanent, starter kit shop through my website.
All right.
So, yes. So now they'll just be available. And I'm kind of working out the format and the pricing, because I will have to charge a little bit more than I did for Film for Everyone, just because I didn't even cover my own costs.
Right.
But
yeah.
I mean, for that, like, I didn't care. Like, I honestly, I was like, you know, this is a great opportunity. It's right before Christmas. Like, people can take photos of their families or, you know, whatever they're doing. And, you know, I just want to do something. You know, I want to give back, because when I was first starting, I had some really amazing people pour a lot of love into me, and I don't think that I would still be doing what I'm doing. I don't think I'd be doing what I'm doing, and I don't think that I would still be shooting film if it hadn't been for them, because I my first 10 rolls I ruined,
right.
You know,
yeah,
that kind of thing. And it's like, that's very discouraging. So, you know, when you have people who pour all of that into you, you know, I just felt like now that I had this opportunity to give back, it was just time. So I did.
So what's the future of the project going to look like? Is it like as you get kits, they'll be available, or are you going to stock up first?
Yeah, I'm working on stocking up right now. I actually reached out on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook and just everywhere and was like, if you have an old camera that's collecting dust and you want to donate it to this project, then please get in touch. And what I'll probably end up doing is the cameras that get donated, I'll probably do giveaways.
Right.
With those cameras, because I don't want to take these cameras that were donated to me and like turn them for a profit, because that's not the point of the project anyways.
Right.
So what I'm thinking of doing is I will be purchasing kits from online and I wherever I find them, or you know, same way as before. And then I'll have those in the shop, and then every probably two or three times a year I'm going to be doing Film for Everyone, where I can do those kits for very cheaply just to cover the cost of everything else I put in them, or you know, giveaways as well, things like that. So kind of, I'm trying to make it to where if people want to be involved and participate, then their kits are going towards these lower cost initiatives. And then for the rest of the year, I have a standalone shop. So people who have the means to buy these kits and are cool with that can.
I think that's so awesome because, I mean, just like you said, I've had people, you know, get me into things like let me try cameras that I probably never would have tried to find, like range finders or something like that. And that's kind of one of the only ways to keep this thing kind of growing organically, is to do things like that, to not, you know, gouge prices of cameras. You could easily have sold that Pentax K1000 for, you know, $150 and, you know, and I just think it's really important, especially with like, you know, film is kind of on the edge where it could disappear at some point in the future here.
Absolutely.
You know, so like, I really think it's important that, you know, when we have some extra cameras laying around and we know somebody that's like, man, so what is that you do all the time? Oh, you shoot film? That's really cool. I would, you know, and it's like, just give them a camera.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I have a million cameras I'm definitely willing to lend out to people or give to people. So.
And that's, I mean, that's kind of where I am too. Like, I just, it's hard. Film is expensive and it's hard to get into it. There's a lot to learn.
Right.
And, you know, I remember feeling so overwhelmed when I first started. And, cause I mean, I had disposable cameras up until that point. So there's really only one thing to do with it.
Right.
And then you send it away. So, you know, I remember that feeling. And it's like, if someone expresses interest, like, yeah, provide them with the gear, because the thing about it is the film is going to do the rest. Like, it's magic. It's magic every single time. And
it is magic. Yes.
I know that for people who even have the slightest bit of creative inclination, when they really start getting into it and understanding the process, like, oh, so that's how film's developed. Oh my gosh, that's so cool. Like, it does all the work for me. I don't have to do much, you know? So, and I'm excited. I mean, now there's 12 more like well-equipped film photographers out there, you know, and a lot of them are here. So I have a bigger community of people here, and I have people, you know, hitting me up all the time, being like, hey, like, what's this one thing on my camera? And I'm like, oh yeah, that's, you know, da da da. And it's great. We just get to do a lot of really cool stuff, and I get to, you know, provide information to others, which is, again, it is how it grows and how it stays alive. So
yeah.
So I've been loving that.
You seem so willing to like teach this thing, film photography. Have you thought about putting on any workshops or classes or anything like that?
I actually have. I am a member of the Nashville Community Darkroom here. And I actually reached out to Erin, she was the first person to teach me how to develop and print my film at the darkroom. And I think she's on the board at NCD. And I actually messaged her just a couple days ago and was like, hey, like I actually moved away about last year. I moved away for about 6 months and then I moved back. And I asked her, I was like, you know, I moved back and I'm wanting to come back to the darkroom, you know, for printing. And, but also, I don't know if you've kept up with my work, but I'm very involved in film and in the community now. And, you know, would really like to work at the darkroom or run some of the classes. And we're having coffee later this week. So
great.
I might actually be doing some of that through them, which would be cool. I think that at this point, I feel like I am like very well equipped for the beginner classes, the intros. I think I know enough to really get people like through those classes and have them really enjoy it. And at the same time, feel very green still. I mean, I've been shooting film for, you know, almost 5 years now, and I still feel like there is so much for me to know and to learn. And so I'm definitely interested in doing those beginner ones. And I think as time goes on, you know, I'll start taking on a little bit more, you know, maybe some experimental stuff or different types of processes and color developing, you know, things like that. Yeah, we will see. I hope so very soon to be doing more, because I really do enjoy telling people about it and walking them through that process.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, I feel like you're at a good point. Definitely. You should don't doubt yourself. Just get in there, because I've always heard that like teachers learn the most, you know what I mean? Because like you learn so much from your students and stuff like that. And I did a little class with a couple younger kids. I kind of same thing. I sourced a couple cameras and we all walked around and shot a roll film and then developed it. And it was just like the amount of stuff that I learned from doing just that for like a couple hours one day, like, you know, it's a magical feeling.
Yeah.
And also, I need to join that damn dark room. I don't know how I'm still not a member of the Nashville Community Dark Room.
Yeah, I actually just realized I have listened to this podcast for a hot minute, and I don't know how I missed that you live in Franklin. You're right around the corner from me.
I know. He messaged me this morning, was like, she's from Nashville. I was like, hello.
I think I followed your personal account on Instagram. I was like, wait a second. I was like, I know, you're I here.
I know. I realized that too. I was just like, damn it, come on.
You know, it's everything happens in its own time. It's all good.
You're right. It really does. It's funny.
But the dark room's great. I mean, I love it because, you know, I went a lot in the year that I had my membership, and then I moved away. And now that I'm back, I think probably twice in that entire year I worked with someone else in the dark room. It's very much like still your own private space.
Yeah.
Like, and actually, I met Laura Partain there one time.
Laura,
Yes. She's fantastic. I really like her. And we had great conversation that day. And but other than that, you know, like I'd never see anyone in there other than me. So it's still that very much like a sanctuary.
That's kind of nice.
But you know, I use it just for printing because I don't have an enlarger at my house right now. Mm-hmm. And since I have like my anywhere set up, you know, I usually stay at home, but yeah. it's still a really great place. And they've got all like the resources that you need to like for retouching or mounting. If you want to mount, you know, your prints onto framing, you know, there's just a lot of extras there. And the library, oh my gosh, the library has grown so much. There's this entire wall full of books. And
that's awesome.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And so every time I have like a weird question about something I'm doing or like, you know, how to dodge and burn like a very tiny area or something like that, you know, I'll go and like read all these, you know, just pull books off the shelf and just find stuff there. And it's fabulous.
Wow. Yeah.
So you should come over and hang out sometime.
Yeah.
Yes.
I might come over and hang out. I'm going to get on a plane. Yeah.
You should. It's fun. Seriously, anytime you're in Nashville, it's really cool.
That's awesome.
So
awesome.
You're all self-taught basically, right? You haven't like taken any classes at all or anything at school?
No, actually I went to college for recording industry. I was in for music business administration. So I learned everything myself a little bit from my dad. I did learn how to develop and print at the darkroom. I did take a day, like an evening course for those. Just because in order to be a member, you have to kind of go through some of these classes.
Right.
To learn how to use everything. But other than that, no, I am 100% self-taught.
That's amazing.
I
guess a lot of us are nowadays as well. I was just wondering if like you had spent some time at like art school or anything like that.
No, I just, I went to school for music. And then wanted to be a lawyer, actually. I wanted to be an intellectual property attorney. I did. And then I realized that probably wouldn't be creatively gratifying enough.
Us
creatives got to be careful, you know?
Yeah.
This job is not going to serve me well other than...
Yeah. So, no, but then I, you know, expressed interest. And it's funny because I didn't even, like, my dad had this camera my entire life and never told me until Christmas 5 years ago when he gave it to me. And I was like, you've had this the whole time? Like,
what the hell?
I've been shooting disposable cameras since I was 7 and you've had this the whole time?
I love that.
But
was he,
know,
like, hoarding it or something? He was like, this is my baby?
Yeah, it was just up in the top of a closet. Like... I had even expressed interest like getting into college, like, oh man, you know, I kind of want a film camera, da da da, and he just never said anything.
That's too funny.
So, but it's okay. Now I have it and Love it.
And your world has changed. So did you go through like a career change, or did you kind of gradually get into shooting professionally? What was that like?
It was gradual, because I think it took me 2.5 years to call myself a photographer.
Sure.
I refused until I felt like I was producing more work that I liked than work that I hated or that I didn't think was good.
Yeah.
It took me about 2.5 years. About 2.5 years ago, I launched my business, and I had like a business launch and everything. And up until that point, I had been shooting, still doing music, but most, you know, doing a little bit of everything just to get a feel for it. And I had been in the dark room. I don't know, you know, it's weird because it was very gradual up until that point. And then I launched my business, and then it was all I could think about.
Right.
And I've still had like other jobs, day jobs and whatnot. But, you know, as time is going on, it's becoming more and more sustainable, which is really cool. And especially once really this past year, ever since I announced that I wasn't doing digital anymore, that was really when things started like insane, 90 to nothing.
Wow.
Yeah, just because I had been really involved in the scene, especially in the DIY music scene here. I've been very involved going to all the shows, shooting a lot for free in the hopes that, you know, showing these musicians my abilities would get me, you know, the paid work. And that is often not so true.
Yeah.
And even though I was doing a lot of shooting and I was going to a lot of shows and meeting a lot of people, like I wasn't happy at all. And I think that was evident in my non-film work. Mm. Cause it wasn't as inspired. It wasn't as there, you know, it wasn't as in the moment. And then when I announced in April of last year, I'd had it. And I was like, you know what? Like, I'm done. Like,
wow.
I think I had tweeted about it. I was like, you know, I was like, by 2020, I think it was like the beginning, like the end of March or mid-March something. I was like, by 2020, I'm not going to shoot digital anymore. And then by mid-April, I was like, you know what? I'm done.
Wow.
And I announced it. I was like, you know what? I'm not offering digital anymore. I'm not doing any more free shows. I'm not doing free shoots. You know, I have a starving artist program where, you know, we'll work out a budget or a payment plan or something like that. But otherwise, like, this is what I love. This is what I'm good at. My best work is on film. I feel the most fulfilled when I do it. And so I'm not going to do anything else. I'm not going to do anything I don't want to do anymore. I actually got a really great response to that. Like, I wasn't expecting it.
That's so inspiring, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. People were really, really supportive and really, you know, like, go you. Like,
hell yeah,
that's great. And so that's kind of just, ever since then, it's been more and more. And then I've, you know, been able to grow in film and create, you know, these cool little projects for myself, like Trashed, which is where I'll just like throw something random into my developing tank, like wine or household bleach,
yes.
like something random, you know, just whatever I find, or where I'll take like canvas dyes after the negatives come out and just kind of like dot it, smear it, like take some bath salts and all the way down and just trash the film and just see what happens. Like more experimental stuff. And like, I don't know, it's just, I've been doing a lot of things that just feel more like myself. And I think that people respond well when you're being who you are.
Absolutely.
In your craft.
100%.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And the more I've grown to love it, the more vocal I've gotten about how much I love it. And then the more people are like, well, that's really cool. She really loves that. Like,
yeah,
I think it's kind of interesting. Like, I want to like know more. And yeah, it's like, you know, I love what I do so, so much. And I think that it's done a lot in my business and just for me too. I kind of went down a rabbit hole there.
No, I love that. That's great. That's so,
yeah.
It's really important. I feel like everybody kind of needs to go through that phase, mm-hmm. though, like where you are being the person that everybody walks all over, like shooting concerts for free, doing this for that. I mean, it really teaches you to hustle and that this isn't what I want to do anymore. You know, like I'm not going to do this anymore because I am worth more than that. And once you hit that level, I think then it's on, you know, mm-hmm. then you get, you find out who you really are and you get to like do that shit. You get to put the bath salts on your film and scratch it up and
right.
go crazy.
Yeah.
And like, cause you're hungry. You're just like, I'm so sick of doing this. Like, come on, you know,
like what else can I do? You know?
Yeah,
absolutely. And I think that, I really enjoy the creative process of it now. And I'm working with artists who value me and my craft. They value my time, they value my resources, and they value my abilities. And I'm not I don't think I'm a very proud person when it comes to my work, but I am confident in the knowledge that I have and in the work that I do, and I'm not willing to sell that for nothing anymore.
Right.
And that actually, that mindset is something that came from, this is just a quick side note, but last year, I went to, there's this thing in Nashville, and it happens all over the world, but it's called Creative Mornings. And it's where there's a worldwide topic, and then each Creative Mornings collective in the city will have a speaker come in and talk about that topic. And so one week it was on creative courage, and there was a really great fitness instructor, Kate Moore, here in Nashville, who came in and talked about, you know, creative integrity and how she, and this literally changed my life. So I hope someone hears this and is like, oh man, like I needed that.
Yeah.
She said that, you know, when she was building her business, it it felt really good for people to come to her and say, you know, I'm new in the area and like I'm really interested in getting more involved in this community. And like you just know so much and you're so passionate and like, so successful. Like, can I just pick your brain? You know, and just like, you know, can I just ask you some questions and, you know, I'll buy you a cup of coffee. And she said that at first that felt really great. It's like, oh, wow. Like I'm a little bit of an authority here. Mm-hmm. Like I, you know, something I'm doing is getting someone's notice. But then she came to realize that these people were taking the 4 or 5 years that she had taken to build her business, and the value of that to them was 2 hours of her time for like a $4 cup of coffee.
Right.
And she was like, you know what? Like that's not worth it. Like I spent so much time and resources doing this and making the mistakes and building what I have to what I like, what I am to what I, and what I have to like where it is now. And that, no, I'm not going to do that. And the phrase that came from that, I don't, just quick side note, I don't know if this will need to be edited out, but the phrase that she came up with for that was, if it's not a fuck yes, it's a no.
Ooh, that's good.
And yeah. Like, I heard that and my brain exploded. My brain absolutely, it did. I was like, oh my gosh, because I have people do that. Like, ask me like, hey, are you coming to my show? Like, I just love your work. And it's like, yeah, that feels great. But like, mm-hmm. Now you're soliciting my services, but you don't want to pay for it. Right. And
yep.
And I'm not down with that.
I've definitely like, had to put my foot down before.
Yeah. And, you know, and it started making me feel bad. It's like, you know what? You're not asking me to come to your show because like you're stoked to see me and like, you know, like you want me to be there and we can have a conversation and like, you know, be peers and friends. Like you're wanting me to come on the off chance that I'll bring my camera and I'll take mm-hmm. photos of you that are marketable for you and are brand building for you. And that's valuable. That has value. And you wouldn't be asking if you didn't want me there. And I deserve to be compensated for my craft.
So freaking lutely.
And that phrase though, I mean, I started applying it to everything in my life. Everything. And that's really where, you know, that's where my decision to stop shooting digital came from. It's where like when people ask about like what do you put in your all in your mobile darkroom? What are all your things? I'm like, sorry, like
nope.
Yeah.
Nah.
Yeah,
like, yeah, I mean, yeah. I'll talk about it and I'll talk about like a little bit of the process and everything, but like, I'm not going to build it for you.
Right.
Like, it took me like 7 months to figure out what I needed. Like,
right.
No, you know? So, and it's not because I don't care. It's not because I don't want to share that. It's just because like, I consult too. If you want information, if you want to take the easy road, like pay me a consulting fee,
because
that information has value. You won't have to waste, you won't have to spend 5 years making all those mistakes, you know? So anyways, but that statement really, really changed things. And also the second part of that is like, if it's not a fuck yes, it's a no. And if it's a no, be honest about why. Yeah. And so, you know, I've told people like, hey, you know, I'm really glad that you're interested in this. You know, I offer consulting. It's on my website. If you're interested in booking a session, like, please, you know, fill out the form there. But I don't offer free shoots. I don't offer free services.
Right.
Like, you know, this is part of my business now. And I've had some people who've been kind of rude, you know, like, but the people, because they're just like, oh, well, really? And it's like, yeah, really? like, sorry. But you know, the people that I end up working with, like, see that for the value that it has and are like, absolutely, I'm willing to take care of you in that way because I want your know-how. So I will compensate you in some way for it. So
that's amazing.
Anyways, Yeah.
Yeah. That's really important. That's really important stuff. I hope that hits somebody that's listening. Yeah.
Same.
Cause I sure it hit me.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it can really, really make a difference. It very much made a difference for me. So hopefully someone out there, you deserve compensation for your creativity.
Everybody's
got to eat. Compliments don't pay bills.
Nope, they don't.
So
tags don't pay bills.
creative authenticity and courage.
Love it.
Spiel for the day.
How many times, just you saying that last like little segment that we had, how many times I walk into Starbucks to get my morning coffee and they're like all my bros in there and I'm just like, yeah, they're just like, yo man, we're recording this weekend at the thing, man, if you just want to pop in like on Friday for like an hour and like take a couple shots, and I'm just like, yeah, nope. Let me see what my calendar says, and then I just like keep walking. I never have the heart to be like no, because they give me free coffee all the time, but free coffee is like not the price of a roll of film.
No, plus,
an hour
plus
of my
they're not
time.
Giving
so,
you
like,
their coffee. They're giving you Starbucks coffee.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, that's a lot of free coffee.
You should start saying, Timothy, like, I can send you over my rates if you guys are serious.
That's what I did. I did say that. I just like last week, because I'd had it, because they were hounding me. They're like, in February, we got this like big deal. The record company's paying for it. Like that.
Oh,
I'm like,
perfect.
Were they paying for the photographer too? Because like that.
Yeah.
We'll talk.
Yeah. No, it has, it's made it like, cause I'll just tell people sometimes like, yeah, like, if you, especially cause like my rates on my, that I advertise for my stuff, like if an art, if like, I work in DIY, so a lot of these bands, they don't have a ton of money. And so it's like, I'll tell them like, hey, like if you want me to come shoot your show and my rates aren't doable for you, let's chat. Let's just like talk about this and figure it out. And we'll come up with a way that covers my costs and gets you photos, because I genuinely believe people deserve good quality photos no matter how much money they have in their pocket. So, you know, as long as I can cover my costs, you know, I'll make it work sometimes, especially if it's bands that like book me on a repeat basis. I'm like, yeah, I'll throw you a bone here and there. Like, I don't mind. But if people are like, yeah, you want to pop in for 30 minutes, sometimes I'll be like, you know, we'll come up with a mini session rate. Why not?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I was like, yeah, I'll do a half roll for you. And then when I finish the rest of that roll, then you'll get your photos kind of thing. Like, you know, it can't be on time, you know, something like that.
We'll be right back with the listener question for Taylor right after this message from our sponsor.
Support for Analog Talk also comes from Polaroid Originals. Go to PolaroidOriginals.com and use the offer code ANALOGTALK10 at checkout to receive 10% off your next purchase.
All right, guys, this is a part of the show where we break off and take a question from one of our listeners. And this week's question comes from Mr. Chris Visser. And he wanted to know, if you could photograph any band's last show, who would it be and why? And he also kind of had a little side note. It's like anytime, any place, any date, anywhere, you know.
Anybody.
So, anybody.
Okay, so I actually have a couple. I'll go with one that's not here and now, and then one that, or a couple, two that are.
Ooh, that's perfect. Good. Mm-hmm.
The band that I would shoot their last show would be Queen.
Oh, yes, Freddie.
Amen.
Yes. I absolutely love Queen. I love Freddie Mercury. And like,
same.
I love him. And everything that like he stood for, and just like how like outrageous and outlandish and just dramatic and passionate he was. Like, I think that would be the coolest experience ever. He and I are actually birthday buddies, so I would just I would just feel like that was a very, very cool connection. So Queen for sure. More modern in the nowadays, there are two that come to mind. Thrice.
Ooh, yeah,
and
yeah.
Manchester Orchestra. Those are two bands that mean a lot to me and that I have seen live many times and have never shot. And, you know, there's some music that sticks with you your whole life and that really helped shape who you are. And those two bands definitely did it for me. So it would be those.
Great answers. Great question.
Love Thrice. Definitely. Like, love Manchester. They're so good.
But is Thrice still playing? Are they still around?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
They took a hiatus for a few years just because they all have families and everything. And I think 2 years ago, maybe almost three now, they came back with an album that was just as good as anything else. And now they've released, I think, their newest one is, it's called Palms. And it is fantastic. It's so good. They are so good. Like, I think they're timeless at this point. Like, they're just immortalized in my mind. And Dustin Kensrue, Dustin Kensrue as like a vocalist, and just like his entire presence is, it just really, really like hits me in the gut and tugs on my heartstrings quite a bit. So, yeah.
So this sounds like good. It should be a goal for you then.
Yeah. It 100% is. And now, like, working in music, it's like now I have a few people who have, you know, toured with him or know him, and it's like I'm really weird about being like, hey, so listen, could you help me out here? But
yeah.
I think if the opportunity presented itself, I would jump on that opportunity because that would just make my life.
Love that.
Yeah,
for sure. So. Man, so I guess we got to give her the tough two questions then. Everybody's worst. Everyone's like, I hate you for this. All right. So there's a desert island and you can only take one camera. What's it going to be?
It's my Nikon FG20. Yeah, this is the camera my dad gave me. It's my, I don't know.
Aww. I love it. It's all decorated.
It is. I have all my swag.
Love that.
All of it. I take, because people love the pins, and it gives me an opportunity to shout out Shoot Film Co. every opportunity I get, and bands that I love, and this extremely hilarious pin that I found.
Oh, that is awesome.
What does it say?
It says, Kodak knows I'm important. I'm a professional photographer.
Oh my God, I need that.
And I found it on Etsy or eBay or something, and I laughed so hard. I was
like,
this
is amazing.
This is the funniest pin I've ever seen. But so I had to buy it. It was like $3. I had to buy it. But yeah, that, you know, my dad's dad, my grandfather who has passed, gave that camera to him, and then he gave it to me. And I love it, and I know it so intimately now. Like that's why I've never used any of those other cameras I've bought.
Right.
I know it. I understand. It's light metering. I have a great glass for it. So that would be the one, hands down.
Great answer.
So what film stocks? You know, are you a Kodak person? Do you like Kodak, or do you kind of just shoot what you can? Or
definitely love Kodak. I actually have, it's not in here. I would have to go and get it, but I have this Kodak racing pit jacket for when Jeff Hamilton raced for Kodak, and it's amazing. And it's actually, I should probably, I'm just going to.
Yeah, go get it.
it's so cool. Hold on.
Oh,
wow. Shut up. Dude, yes. That's sick. Yes.
I waited a long time for that
jacket. Where did
you
get it?
I found it on Poshmark.
What is that?
It's like this clothing resale website. It's only for clothes, so people will go on there, and I saw that jacket. Someone had done like a photo shoot or something with it, and I saw it on Pinterest like years ago, and I was like, I want that jacket. And probably every week or two for 2 years I would like scour the internet, like eBay, shop, Goodwill, like Etsy, wherever, and I would just look, and I finally found it in November last year, and I bought it immediately, and had even seen other ones that I really were like, oh, those are cool, but it's right. Not that one.
Close, it's not the one. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I waited, and I was rewarded for my patience.
Yes.
But no, I love, so yeah, for the film stocks I shoot, I do love Kodak, big fan of Portra, especially for live shows. You just get those warm gold tones with the, you just can't beat that.
Right.
I really enjoy, I love Ilford as well. When I'm on the road, Ilford Delta 100 is actually my favorite to shoot.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's even when I'm in low light, you know, I have a very, very powerful flash kit. And so I'm able to still get really great still images, but also because it's such low speed, I'm able to get a lot of motion shots. When I was first shooting, I didn't use a flash kit because I didn't have one. So I would shoot these low light shows with no flash, which is not easy to do. And I hated it at first because I couldn't get those crisp, nice photos. But then I you know, going back and looking at those images, it really actually helped create a style for me where I use that, the motion of, you know, somebody like headbanging or something, to convey like the emotion, like the intensity of what's going on. And so with the Delta, if I set my camera and my flash settings just right, I can get some really great motion shots that are well lit, but offer a lot of just, I don't know, just context for the moment. So love Delta. But yeah, I'll pretty much shoot anything. I love expired film as well.
Yeah, it gets weird.
Yes, it does. I actually just did a live development session on Instagram the other day where I had this mystery stock of black and white film that was bulk loaded into a Kodak like GC Max 800 canister. So the camera, the DX coding, like the camera read it as 800, but I had no clue what it was.
Yeah.
And it actually turned out to be Delta 100.
Oh, no kidding.
But it was super expired too. So I was like, I was sitting there like on this live video trying to figure out how to develop it. Like I was like, okay, gotta do some math here. And yeah, I was like, I don't know if that's gonna be right. And ended up getting some cool stuff. I actually posted some of the photos on Instagram today. So,
Sweet. I'll have to check them out.
Yeah, same.
Yeah. The photos on there are whenever I get cameras in for the shop, I will test them using these, you know, some older rolls. And so they were just test shots, but they ended up being kind of cool because I rewound it, did some double exposing and some fun stuff. So it was cool. And now that I know what it is and all the, you know, all the other bulk loaded 800 right. canisters that I have, now I know how to shoot them and how to develop them. So but I love expired film. It's always a total mystery. You never know what you're gonna get.
Definitely.
So yeah,
I have a big Ziploc bag full of like all kinds of random expired stuff. I'm excited to
love it
to dig through them this year and do some fun stuff with them.
Yes. Yeah, it's always so much fun. Like, you know, that's part of the joy of film. It's like completely unpredictable sometimes, and it's
definitely.
Just
yes.
it's magic. It's magic.
It is 100%. Man, so yeah, the second part of the question is the white whale camera. Is there anything that you've had your eye on and you want it, but you just haven't pulled the trigger on it? And
yes.
What is it?
Yashica Mat 124.
Ooh.
Oh, such a
one.
Great classic camera. Oh,
yeah. That's if I don't have a camera that shoots medium format. And I don't want one until I get that one.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's the one I've wanted. And it's like, you know, I have a tendency to get pretty good at something and then move on. And I told myself, you know, like I shoot 35 and I'm getting to that point where I'm well versed enough to move on. And, but I'm still like, I'm going to wait. 'Cause I could get a 120, you know, I could get a 120 or other medium format, you know, camera and, at any time if I really wanted to, but I'm just not going to, like, I'm just going to wait because it forces me to be present with what I'm currently working with too. So.
That's a good point.
So important.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, so that is the one though. And actually, on the film walk a couple days ago, someone had one. And I was like, oh yes.
Don't get tempted.
Yeah, I was like, I was drooling. I literally walked over to her and I was like, that is the camera I want. Can I see it?
Yes.
I was being very weird about it. She was so nice. I was like, oh my gosh, yeah. So got to like hold it and like, I love that, you know, like looking down and just having that screen right there and you can just see everything. Oh, it's just so cool.
It is.
And plus twin lenses, they're just so neat.
They are.
They really are.
They're fancy. I always feel fancy when I'm shooting one. I'm like, look at me. Look at me.
I know. It's very cool.
It is.
Everybody wants
is.
To talk to you about it. You know?
Yes. Uh-huh. So, yeah, that's the one.
Well, two very good answers, I will say
that.
Yeah,
definitely.
Awesome.
I guess that wraps it up, doesn't it, Timothy? Yeah,
yeah,
no,
I think so.
This is a great episode, Taylor. Thank you for joining us and sharing your experiences and your knowledge and doing such wonderful things for the community. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's really fun to come in and talk to, you know, a bunch of film nerds like me. So
it's the best is why we do it.
So it's awesome. So thank you guys for having me on and letting me gab about all this.
Absolutely. Where can everybody check you out? Where's your handles and website? info?
My website is tefilm.net, and then my Instagram as well is t.e.film. I don't really have a Facebook presence. If you want to be my friend on Facebook, you can just add me. Find me at tefilm615. And I'm on Twitter, but it's mostly like political ranting, so you know, it's not really worth following. I post some pictures, but then mostly it's just like, hey, go vote. I'm not super active on there. But yeah, Instagram and my website are where it's at.
Awesome. And Timothy, what about you?
Guys, head over to Instagram and Twitter at Timothy Makeups. I also make film photography related YouTube videos. You can check those out on YouTube. And you just got to type in Timothy Makeups in the search bar. You'll find a whole bunch of stuff from like 8 years ago because I haven't made a video in a while. But that's going to change soon. So Chris, where are you at?
So I am Chris B Photo on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. We are Analog Talk Pod on Twitter, Analog Talk Podcast on Instagram. We have a Facebook page and a group you can join and share work and share questions and hang out. So that's where we are.
That's where we're at.
All right, Taylor, thanks again for joining us. This was so, so fun. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. I've had a blast. And it's really, really nice to like talk to you guys and get to know y'all a little bit better, too. It's awesome.
Yay.
All right, everybody. We'll see you in the next one. Bye.
All right. First off, we want to thank Taylor for being on the show. Man, what a bunch of inspiring information she had dropped for us today. I hope some of that hits you guys because it definitely hit Chris and I. We were just like, wow, after the episode, after we were done recording. Thank you, Taylor. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Guys, that's going to take us to Patreon. Head over to patreon.com/analogtalk. We have a bunch of tiers over there. Like we said at the top of the show, you can get the show 2 days early on Mondays if you decide to join our Patreon. So every little bit helps. And thanks to the 40 patrons that we have, we appreciate each and every single one of you guys. And we will see you next week with an all new episode. Later.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.